Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about making decisions. Just all through life, we're faced with decisions. How do you know which way to go? Sometimes there's multiple paths to choose from. And I'm just thinking, you know, in our own lives personally here, just in our family, we're making some decisions. We had a car that was having some issues, and so now we're making some decisions. Which way do we go? Which path do we take forward with these cars? And we could do it on our own and just make decisions on our own. But what I really want to know, I like to make decisions just after walking with God for a while and learning some more about how to make decisions with Him. I want to know, what's God's path forward in this? What does He say? I want His opinion. What does He say is the best thing for us to move forward with? And learning how to make decisions with God, to bring Him into the everyday decision-making of life. Sometimes it's little decisions from day to day. Sometimes we're faced with bigger decisions in life, for houses or vehicles or job opportunities or business opportunities or investments or who knows what. We got bigger decisions that we face in life sometimes. And bringing God into that decision-making, we're going to talk about that process and what that looks like today. But we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to examine ourselves. We go through what we call our four fundamentals here that we can begin to practice and implement every day. And you're going to see that as we talk about these four fundamentals, a lot of them are keys to help us make better decisions, to find what is God's path, what is His plan, what does He say is the best way to take when we're faced with pivotal decisions in our lives, because we all face them every day. So let's get started with prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. Thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. Thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us and make your face shine upon us. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So now we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about our four fundamentals. And as my daughter always reminds me, you got to put the fun in fundamentals. You got to make them fun. These four things, I think if you put these into practice every day and you make them fun, just getting positioned in the light, magnifying the light, that is fun. You make these four fundamentals and you practice them daily. Masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals, and you make them fun. Make them enjoyable. Make them things that you look forward to every day. But our four fundamentals, and then we'll get into them here. But getting positioned in the light, number one. Magnifying that light. Staying tuned in for God's leading and direction today to help with your decision making. And doing what you know to do. Let's talk about number one, position in the light. This is the on-off switch. We're either positioned in the light or we're positioned in the darkness. This is the on-off switch. We want to keep the lights on all day. How do we do that? Number one, stay in position in forgiveness. Receiving forgiveness from God, receiving His grace and forgiveness, forgiving ourselves in the middle. We often forget about ourselves. And making sure it's flowing through us where we're walking in that same forgiveness with other people. One way that we get this access into the light. And the motivation behind that forgiveness was love. It was love that motivated God's grace and His goodness and His forgiveness. Receiving that from Him, loving ourselves the way that He has loved us. And then walking in that same love with other people. We take what God's done for us and we let it flow through us, where we do the same good that He's done for us to other people. To walk in love is to walk in the light. God is light, God is love. They're one and the same. They're a person, they're God. To walk in love is to walk in the light. Now, all this is received by faith. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is gratitude and praise. Gratitude and praise, specifically for being released from darkness, transferred into the light. And remember, this is on or off. So the opposite is to be positioned in complaining. To be positioned in gratitude and praise keeps the light on all day. So we got to watch ourselves. Where am I positioned? Am I positioned in gratitude and praise, or am I positioned in complaining right now? One of the things that can help your decision making, help you make better decisions that are not emotional decisions, stay positioned in the light. Often we make emotional decisions because we're not in a grateful state. Stay positioned in the light. You're going to make better decisions. Now, what's in the light? This is a big deal, understanding what's in the light. Because it's not worth it to walk in unforgiveness or step out of love, to step into complaining mode. Because why? Because you shut off the access to all of this. In the light is everything that God has. In the light is His kingdom. And He's given us everything He has in Christ. His Spirit, His power, His presence, His love and peace and joy and His faith and His kindness and goodness, His greatness and gentleness, His mind and His wisdom, the answers that you need, the direction that you need for the decisions that you're making each day are found in the light. His health and energy, His time, His finances, His order, everything that He has, He's put it in the light. So first we got to get in there. We got to turn the light switch on. And then we're going to magnify that light. That's our second fundamental. To make that light bigger and greater. So think about, we're going to turn the lights on, but it starts in your spirit. And now we got to magnify it, where it begins to expand out into my mind, into my emotions, into my physical body, out into the world. As we magnify the light, we're making it bigger or greater. We're giving God a bigger area to work and to flow through us in our lives. I like to think of it as a pipeline of living water. First, we turn the supply on. And in that living water is all those things that we just said. As that water begins to flow, we can expand the capacity of the pipe where more can flow through it. So to magnify the light, it expands our capacity for God to be able to flow more through us. And it's all about what we're focused on. We're all magnifying something every day based on what we're thinking about, what we're talking about, what we're meditating on, what we're focused on. We're all meditating on something every day. And as you meditate on the light, it gets that capacity expanded. It gets God's word rooted and grounded and established in your heart, where it's fixed and it's immovable. You stay steadfast and consistent, even when you got pressure or dark things happening around you. Now, to magnify the light, here's some ways that we can do that. We can magnify God's word. We can stay focused on His word. We can meditate on His promises. God's magnified his word above his name, it tells us in the Psalms. We can magnify his steadfast, unfailing love, that he never fails. We can magnify his faithfulness, that he's always on time, that he always fulfills his promises. He'll never leave us or forsake us. We can magnify his mighty works, that nothing's impossible for him. Nothing's impossible for him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We can magnify who he made us to be in Christ and what he put within us. We can magnify, we can meditate on those things, to think about them, to ponder them, to imagine them. We can meditate on whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and a good report. The Bible tells us to set our minds on these things. We can magnify what's going well, what God has already done in our life, what he's already done for us in Christ. We can choose to magnify these things. Now, this is not denying that there's problems going on around us. It's choosing to take these problems and bring them into the light and to make God bigger than the problems. Choosing not to magnify them. But God does give us the choice. We could choose to magnify darkness. We could choose to magnify all the ways that people have wronged us, all the things that should have, could have, or would have happened. We could magnify all the issues or the problems. We could dwell on the past or be worrying about the future. We could be toiling away in our mind, trying to figure out all the solutions, trying to toil away and make decisions even about which way to go. And you could weigh the pros and the cons. You could roll over the decision from every possible angle and just toil away in your mind and try to figure it out. But here's what I've learned. That's not the best way to do it. There's a better way to find those answers of which way to go when you're faced with decisions. Because the answer is found in the light. And the more we magnify the darkness, the further away from the solution we're getting, from God's solution. This is where we got to get good at recognizing the symptoms of where I'm positioned and what I'm magnifying. To be positioned in darkness, to be magnifying darkness. When we're doing that, everything feels heavy and oppressive, like all of the pressure is on you. So imagine you're faced with a tough decision about which way to go. And you feel all that pressure. You got to decide something. Sometimes we get time pressure on our decision making. You got all that pressure on you about a decision that you got to make. Well, if we're looking at it from the view of the darkness, all that pressure is on you to make that. We can turn it around and bring it into the light. And now God can help to guide our decision making. We can roll that pressure over onto him because he knows the perfect thing at the perfect time. When we're positioned in darkness, it feels hopeless, like you're trapped or you're stuck, like your energy levels are going down. You can feel your energy levels begin to diminish. Then there's the fear and the stress and the worry and the dread and the confusion about which way to go or what to do. Maybe you're stuck in some kind of vicious cycles that just keeps replaying over and over and over and over again. These are all symptoms. But to be in the light, number one, you've got rest in your soul. You've got rest in your soul. You're not working to get it. You're not working to try to figure it all out. Not working to try to make the perfect decision on your own, because you've got God to help. Everything feels free and easy and effortless and energizing. Then there's that peace that surpasses all understanding, that joy of the Lord that is your strength begins to flow. Hope, you've got hope for your situation, no matter what's going on around you. And all of a sudden, you get these aha moments, these flashes of insight or inspiration where you just know what to do. And you know that you know that you know this is the path forward. This is where we got to get good at turning the tables. When we recognize the symptoms, and I recognize, wait a minute, I'm off track here. This is going to happen. As we get more skilled in this, we make this more fun, right? It's our fundamentals. We're going to make them more fun. As we get more skilled in this, we're going to recognize those symptoms and begin to turn them around quickly. And the good news is, it only takes 1 second to turn it around, get positioned back in the light, to change your focus, start praising and thanking, brings you right back into the light. Stay positioned in praise and thanksgiving, and then start magnifying God's word, his faithfulness, his love, his mighty works, his power. And all of a sudden, that grace begins to flow. Suddenly. Now, our third fundamental, staying tuned in. We get positioned in the light first, and it's something like tuning a radio receiver. Tunes you to God's channel. And all of a sudden, your ability to hear and discern God's leading and direction in your life gets so much more clear. But we do got to stay tuned in each day. One of my favorite things to do every night before bed is just with a pen and paper in my journal. Is it just ask God this question. God, what is it you're trying to show me today? Anything I missed? If you have specific decisions that you're faced with, you can begin to ask these questions. God, which way? What's your path forward here? What's the best path? And sometimes I've learned not to limit him, to say, oh, it looks like there's only this option or this option. There's only two directions to go. Often there's a third way that you've never thought of. Some beautiful solution that he has that you couldn't think of in your own mind, but he's got a way through this. And you stay tuned in during the day, and then you wait until you know. When you're seeking his direction for which way to go, you wait until you know. You'll have this knowing on the inside that you just know that you know that you know. Maybe that flash of insight will come to you. But you'll know which way to go. And then you take action. When you know what to do, you take action quickly. You put it into practice quickly, and you do the things that you know to do. Maybe you have a to-do list of things that you know need to get done today. And just start taking action, executing those things. Maybe there's some things in your conscience where you just keep saying to yourself, you know what, I know I need to do that. I've been putting it off. I've been procrastinating on it. I know I need to take action on those things. Those become your plan for today. Maybe there's a certain area where you have a leading or an excitement, or you heard from him and you just know which way to go. Put those things into action quickly and do them with him. Whatever God has authored in your life, he's laid out the path for you. Those things are not meant to be done on your own. They're meant to be done in partnership with him, and make them fun. Do them with a willing heart, with a good attitude, cheerfully, with confidence in him, because we're aware of his presence with us, and we're doing them together with him. And nothing's impossible for him. And when you do this, you get these rivers of living water flowing through you. That current begins to flow through you. Creates something like a magnet. When electrical current is flowing through a wire, it begins to turn that wire into a magnet. And as you do this, it begins to turn you into a magnet and magnetizes you and begins to pull more and more of these things of God into your life. It becomes a beautiful thing. So let's look at our decision making. A couple keys that I found. Number one, let's get positioned in the light. To make good decisions, we got to get into a good place. We got to get into a good headspace first. Often we make quick emotional decisions that are not good decisions. Number one, let's seek him. And what I've learned is when I'm making decisions, we talked about how God's going to be there doing the steps with you. But one of the things I've learned about decision making is whatever God has authored in your life, whatever he has ordained that this is the best path for you when you make those decisions, whichever path he says is the one to take, if he said that's the way to go, he's going to sustain it. Whichever one he says is the path to take, what I've learned is it's the one that he's going to sustain. He's going to hold it all together. If we choose to go our own path, that same grace might not be there. We're going to seek him, and we're going to wait till we know, and you're going to follow that leading on the inside. You're going to follow that peace that you have on the inside. When you find the right path, there will be that peace. There will be that knowing on the inside that you know this is the way to go. But sometimes you have to wait for it. And my daughter was asking, you know, how long does it take? We were talking about this. How long does it take until you know? I said, usually at the most, a couple of days. Sometimes it's instant. Sometimes it might be a couple days. And don't let time defeat you in these decision-making. Sometimes there has to be some time pressure where it seems like you're forced to decide sooner than when you know what to do. And I've learned in those times, keep waiting. Until you have that peace and until you know, keep waiting. Because what God has in mind can be done so quickly and so efficiently that it's not going to matter. Even if it seems like the deadline is approaching. But what he has authored, there's grace there. And he's going to sustain it. And it's going to be this beautiful thing. I'm reminded of this story where my grandpa once told me, where he was faced with a big decision about jobs. He had a new job offer, and he's trying to decide, which way do I go? Do I take this new job, or do I keep the current job that I have? And he's trying to decide which way to go. He didn't know. He's weighing the pros and cons. He's trying to figure it out. Doesn't know which way to go. We've all been there, right? Which way is the right way? And he was a godly guy. He began to seek God. All right, God, what's your path here? What's the way that you have? You know all things. Because we don't know. We can't predict the future. We don't know what's down that path. But we know this. If we choose the path that God said, he's going to sustain that path. And there's a tremendous peace in that. So he prays, and either the next night or within a couple of days, he has a dream. And God has something like flashing neon lights. And I forget what it said, but basically it was telling him which direction to go. These flashing neon lights were telling him which direction to go. And he said, I knew God was telling me to go in whichever direction it was. I can't remember which direction, whether it was the new job or stay in the current one. He said, I knew which way he was telling me to go, but I didn't take it. Out of fear. Sometimes the path that God has for us is going to require some faith and some courage to go down that path, because he might be moving you into something new. But again, that's where you have to have this understanding that whatever path he has, he's going to sustain it. He's going to sustain it. If he says this is the way to go, he's going to sustain it, because it's his word that's on the line. But he didn't choose the way that God had for him. He says, to this day, probably 40 or 50 years later, he was telling me this. He said, to this day, I've always wondered what would have happened if I had taken that other path, the one that I knew God was telling me to do. And he said, God's been good to me. He's blessed me. He's opened up other doors. But I didn't obey in that one. And I've always wondered what would have happened if I had taken that different path, the one that I knew God was telling me to take. So we're going to take communion today, asking for God's help. If you're faced with any decisions today, or just for decisions moving forward, we're going to be asking for his help. So Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you. You sent your one and only Son to die for us. You loved us so much that you would do that, so that we could have life, we could be connected back to you. And part of being connected back to you, Lord, is just your grace of giving us your leading and direction, and just showing us what's best for our life, which direction to take, which decisions to make. And we're asking for your help today, Lord, to help us get better at this decision-making and to know, give us clear direction on which way is the path that you have for us. Make it clear where we know that we know that we know that we know this is the path forward. And giving us the courage, once we know, to take that step and to move forward with it, because we trust that if that's the path that you say is the best path, you're going to sustain it. It might look impossible to go down that path, but you're going to sustain it. So Father, we thank you for this bread. And then on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he said, take it. Receive it. that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. And the cup of God's wrath was poured full strength onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of his blessing. And every time we take communion, it says that we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which is a big deal because in the case of a will or a trust or an inheritance, you have to prove the death to activate all of the benefits, all of the inheritance, all of the things inside of the will or trust. All those things that were in the light, all those good things that he put within you are activated because of the death of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this cup. Now, the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that was motivated by love that brings us in. We can have this new covenant with God, this partnership with him. He can, and more importantly, he's willing. He wants to help us find this path to make the right decisions with him. He wants us to get it right. It's not like he's doing it grudgingly. He wants to do it. He's doing it cheerfully. He's like, "Please come to me. I want to show you. I want to help you." And I believe as you make these decisions and you see him showing up and showing you which way to go, and just how he opens the doors and shows you the path, what's going to happen? You're going to know his heart so much more. His kindness and his goodness and his love. This partnership with him. Father, we thank you for this cup. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. So now it's about walking it out today. Stay positioned in the light. Keep magnifying that light. Paying attention to the symptoms and turn it around quickly if you ever get off track. You got big decisions to make. Stay tuned in for his leading. He'll show you which way to go and what to do. And then once you know, you take action and you put it into practice quickly. And you do it together with him, trusting that he's right there with you. He's going to help you. He's going to sustain it. He's going to lead you day by day to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.